Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's from our epistle today. And all week long, I've really been just trying to think, what does Peter mean by that word overseer? The Greek word is episcopus, which is where, of course, the word episcopal comes from, or where we get our English word bishop. But it really has this idea of overseeing. Even like a very comparable word in our English is supervisor. So what does that mean? Jesus is the supervisor of your soul. There's kind of a joke I've heard a number of times where, you know, if you're driving and you see a road crew working or a construction crew working, and there's one guy working and like 10 guys holding shovels, you know, you say there's 10 supervisors, right? And we kind of have, I think, a negative idea of supervisors, actually, but we really shouldn't. Of course, they do good things. They make sure everybody's safe. They keep everybody on task, this kind of a thing. But Jesus, of course, if we're going to talk about him being a supervisor, it's got to be much more than that, right? Well, ask yourself this question. Why would my soul need an overseer? Why would my soul need a supervisor? Well, the truth is, without Jesus being there to oversee your soul, to supervise your soul, you will constantly be under attack. Most of all, by the devil. The devil will constantly be attacking your soul by throwing all of your sins in your face and saying, what a terrible sinner you are. How could you say that? How could you do that thing? How could you treat them like that? And you will never, your soul will never be at peace. You will never have comfort. The devil will continually be telling you that God, there's no way God could possibly love a horrible sinner like you. There's no way God could possibly be pleased with you, and your soul will just be in peril, feeling like you need to somehow try and please God. So you have to pray more and serve more and work harder until finally your soul just is completely beat up. And that's why your soul needs a supervisor. It needs somebody to guard it, to watch over it, to protect it, to keep the devil at bay so that you can have peace. And so what Jesus does, when Peter says Jesus is the overseer, the supervisor of your soul, Jesus is constantly there reminding your soul of what he's done for you. So he's there supervising your soul, saying, no, don't listen to the devil. I love you. I gave my life on the cross for your sins. He's there saying, remember, you are a baptized child of God. I washed all your sins away. You died and rose with me. He's there saying, here, receive in the Lord's Supper. Here, my own body and blood that I gave and shed for you on the cross for your forgiveness. And through all of that, his word and his sacraments, he supervises, oversees your soul, and keeps you in peace and comfort. Now, this is not some weird idea. People are looking for this. We are looking for this. And that's why there's all these New Age religions out there that are trying to give you this. What else is all this stuff like meditation, yoga, mindfulness? All of these things are supposed to be cures for your soul, to help you to find peace in your soul. But you already have the answer for that. You have Jesus who supervises, oversees your soul, and guards and keeps it with his word and his sacraments. Now, the other thing about this that we have to always keep in the back of our mind, anybody else besides Jesus who wants our soul, you can bet that they're just looking to fleece us. And this, I'm going to tell you something about this image that Jesus gives that I don't often think about, and I wonder if all of you have thought about it either. We're so used to Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, that I wanted you to think about for a minute that he is actually not like any other shepherd or farmer ever in the history of the world. What any farmer or shepherd that raises sheep, what are they planning to do with them? Now, maybe you could find somebody, and I'm sure you can, find somebody that kind of keeps a sheep as a pet or something. Okay, well, maybe they're just taking care of the sheep. But most people, if they raise any group of sheep, what are they raising them for? They're raising them to fleece them. They're raising them for wool, maybe for meat, or in some cases for milk. Okay? They're not raising them just to take care of them. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," we have to understand he is different from any other shepherd or farmer anywhere. He doesn't raise his sheep to fleece them. He raises them to give his life for them. How different is this? He says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. No one in the entire world is like that for you. Lays down his life for you. The world will fleece us very much, but Jesus lays down his life for you. And that when I found that picture that I put on the, I know the pictures are always just a picture, okay, but the one I put on the bulletin insert this morning, I really like a lot. And it has a picture there of Jesus huddling over his lambs while the wolf is right at his side, just barking and ready to bite. And I think that picture is really helpful. Jesus sees the devil ready to drag us down to hell. He sees death laughing over us because we're all on the way to the grave. And he sits there and huddles himself over us and says, "Bite me." And that's what the devil did. The devil bit him hard, put him to death for us. And of course, that's where Jesus just isn't like any other shepherd. He says, any other hired hand, they're all going to run when the wolf comes, but not me. I lay down my life for you and for your sins. And that's why he's the overseer of your soul. He's the only one who is going to give your soul true comfort and peace because he's the only one that forgives sins in his word and in his sacraments. So let your soul be at rest. Let your conscience be at rest. You are safe. You are at peace with God. You are an heir of the heavenly kingdom. You are forgiven. That is very peaceful. Now, one more thing. Lest we be confused about this, Peter reminds us, just because Jesus is your shepherd and the overseer of your soul, that doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. It's one thing to say that Jesus is going to guard and keep our soul and keep us at peace and comfort, but it's another thing to say we're never going to suffer. And Peter, who, when he was writing 1 and 2 Peter, he was writing to Christians that were suffering. They had been scattered out throughout all these pagan nations, and they were very much being persecuted. They were having a hard time being able to express their faith publicly, and so he knew they were suffering. And he says, look, if you are one of Jesus' sheep, you will suffer, because the world will treat you just like it treated Jesus. And when you talk about suffering, you got to be really careful to distinguish what you're talking about. Obviously, everybody in the world is going to suffer, whether you believe in Jesus or not. You're going to suffer. Because, of course, we have all these problems in the world, you know, disease and sickness and death. So when Peter is talking about suffering here in his epistle, he's specifically talking about suffering for being a Christian. And for that, he says, this is the suffering that we endure because we follow the one who suffered just like we did, or like we will. So Peter says, when it comes, you should know, not only is Jesus your shepherd who oversees your soul, but he's also the lamb who suffered for you. And that's where this image in the scriptures is so helpful. Not only is Jesus the shepherd, but he becomes the lamb. So how did Jesus show us to suffer? What did he do? Did he get angry? Did he get revenge on his enemies? Did he retaliate? Did he call them names? I mean, you know, what would you say? What did he do? Peter says none of that, right? Peter says he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. He didn't return when people were sinning against him. He didn't return sin for sin. And he didn't use his mouth to bite and bark back. Peter says when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So this is where I think it completes the whole picture. We have Jesus who oversees our souls and keeps our souls at peace and in comfort. But at the same time, when the world threatens and when the world persecutes and when we have to suffer, he is also there giving us an example of how to suffer, to do it peacefully, to entrust ourselves to God and know that God is the ultimate judge. Many times we're tempted to think, well, God has no idea what I'm going through. He has no idea the suffering that I'm enduring. But here it is. No, he does know. He is the Lamb who went and suffered in our place on the cross. He knows you. You are his sheep. He's the Lamb that suffered, and he's the shepherd that guards and oversees your soul. So on this third Sunday of Easter, I pray that you'll all go home today knowing that your soul, your peace and your comfort and your suffering are all in the hands of the great shepherd and overseer, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.